what at what time. We're trying to figure out the logistics of all that's going to be going on that day. And then we're off in some kind of vehicle, headed to work often, or to school. And maybe along the way, we've heard the news or we're listening to the news, and then maybe we're listening to music of some kind as well. And we arrive at work or school, whatever it may be, and we start hearing a variety of conversations. Conversations about any number of things. It may be about work, or it may be about schoolwork. It may be about what's happened overnight, or maybe over the weekend. We start hearing about what's going on in the news and the world. We start hearing about what's going on in families and relationships, or maybe the lack of relationships, or poorer relationships. And so it goes throughout the day. And then we get home at night, and invariably the television comes on, doesn't it? And through programs that we're watching, whatever they may be, we're hearing about attitudes. Attitudes about life, attitudes about values, about morals, about ethics, about politics, and maybe even about faith. What are the messages in all of these things that you hear, though, throughout your average day? Because there are messages. And oftentimes they're reinforced day after day through a variety of things that we hear and through a variety of the sources that we hear these things. Messages about everything, literally, in life. What are the levels of authority and wisdom that are involved in these messages? How do these messages affect what you hear when you come here for Bible classes or worship? What we hear in our daily life affects how we hear Jesus, whether we embrace him or whether we reject him. What we hear in our daily life affects Jesus' message as we receive it, whether we embrace it or whether we reject it. Romans 10 and verse 17 tells us faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. Faith in Jesus Christ and his message comes from hearing his message. And hearing his message, really hearing it, requires us to be open to it. And then, having faith, believing what we hear. And there are three parts to this as we really think it through. And I ask you to think this through with me this morning. First off, we must be willing to give Jesus' message a hearing. To automatically reject it before we've heard it is to do ourselves an injustice. It's kind of cutting off our nose to spite our face. We must hear or read Jesus' entire message. And his message is not just words. It's not just words printed on a page or vocalized. But his message includes his public and his private teachings. It includes his miracles. It includes his life. It includes his sacrificial death. And it includes his resurrection. Jesus' message was embodied in his person. In many ways, we could say the man was the message.
So we need to expand our understanding of what it really means to hear Jesus' message and to understand all that it involves. We must be open to what Jesus says. He calls us to recognize the limits of human wisdom and ability in contrast to his unlimited nature as creator and sustainer of the universe. He calls for us to exchange the temporary, selfish values of the world for the eternal, permanent, selfless values of his world, of the world that belongs to God, the world that we can have part in, that God so much wants us to have part in. He calls us to realize what he has done, and on the basis of what he's done, to listen to and to believe his promises of what not just could be, possibly, or potentially even, but what will be. Because what God has promised in the past, he's always fulfilled. However radical or unlikely it might seem, he's always fulfilled it. Only when we've given Jesus a hearing and been open to what he says can we have faith in Jesus as God's Son and the message of his will. Jesus said, "He who belongs to God hears what God says." That says something then about you and I, doesn't it? Are we really open to hearing what God has to say and what God has to say through his son Jesus? Are we open to hearing this message that comes with authority and wisdom and power? Jesus also said, "I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life." That's a strange statement, that last piece. He's crossed over from death to life. We can take that in a couple of different ways. We can take it in terms of meaning physical death to physical life, spiritual death to spiritual life. We can talk about it and think about it in terms of the quality, the values of life here, and how that extends into life eternal. Or we can think about it in terms of life here being a life that ends in death physically and can end in death spiritually. While God offers us life, truly life while we're here, and even though we'll all face physical death, a spiritual life that goes unending. All of those might be said to be part of what Jesus is talking about because they all fit. They're all true. Jesus called for distinctly spiritual thinking in God-minded people. And when we're talking about hearing Jesus' message, we can't get away from that. We just can't get away from what kind of a person are we as we're given the opportunity to hear Jesus' message. How will we initially react to just the idea of hearing it, much less actually hearing it? Spiritually minded people, God-minded people, people who are distinctly concerned about spiritual matters, are people who are earnestly seeking God. They're people who realize, even in a small way, God's greatness and God's desire to share that greatness with us as human beings. And that's the meaning of Romans chapter 8 and verses 5 through 8, where it says, "Those who live according to the sinful nature," in other words, the ungodly nature, the nature of humans apart from and actually in opposition to God, hostile to God, Those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what that nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. In the past 2 centuries, many people have heard Jesus' words, but they've been unwilling to have faith in them. Maybe for you or I that sounds strange. Maybe that sounds foolish. But the question really is, why would people hear it, but been unwilling to have faith in it? I think it comes down to one thing. Jesus did not say what most people wanted to hear or believe or act on. And let's be honest, even for those of us who have accepted Jesus' message, Jesus' words, we struggled with what he said, haven't we? We struggled with hearing it as he intended for us to hear it. We struggled with believing it, because after all, Jesus has the words of God, and God says things that are often difficult for us to put into practice, often difficult for us to imagine, often difficult for us to believe because they lie so far outside of human experience. But the people who have not been willing to have faith in them have wholly rejected these words, this message. In other words, they're not open to God's message through the words and the life and the death and the resurrection of Christ. If you've heard Jesus and you're not a Christian, this is probably why. Some folks do not hear Jesus' message because they do not believe in the existence of God. They've been led to that thinking through the supposed wisdom of people. But a belief about something does not make it true. Our belief about God does not in and of itself make it true. Other people's belief that there is no God does not in and of itself make it true. My children may deny that they have a father and a mother, and they may not believe that Betty and I are responsible for their birth. They may not believe we provided them with their needs and many wants as they grew up. They may believe another story, but that does not make their beliefs true. The existence of a superior being who we call God is argued against by many people, but that does not make their argument true. Arguments for the existence of God are at least as persuasive as those against the existence of God. If we can be open to the reality of God, if we can accept the idea that there might be a being who really is everything that the Bible describes him to be, then we can learn through the Bible about his character. We can learn about his unlimited ability and his provision for human beings throughout all time, at all times. God calls us to faith in his promises based upon his lengthy resume of achievements. And the Bible testifies to that. If we can believe that God has done the humanly impossible, beginning with creation, then what is God not able to do? What promise can he not fulfill? Our faith in Jesus Christ is from hearing his message, the word of Christ. The message is about God's love for humans. The message is that God always planned to give his only son as the only acceptable sacrifice for the sins of all humanity. I can't imagine God making such a plan and holding such a plan within himself for thousands of years. I can't imagine thousands of years. Can you? I can't imagine having that idea that there would be a time, there would be a day, there would be a place, there would be people who would actually bring that into being. And that God would be at peace with that. That God would love that much. I can't imagine that. But then again, I'm not God. Through this great love and this great sacrifice, all people could be forgiven of their sins and live forever with God after physical death. What a plan. What an act of love. What a God. What a message. Jesus' message is above all else a message of obedience. And that's really important that we understand that. This message, these words of Jesus, are a message of obedience. And it starts with Jesus himself. And then it comes to us. In Philippians chapter 2 and verses 5 through 8, we read this. And this was written to people who do believe, who are open, who have faith in Jesus Christ, who shed their old way of life for the new way of life called Christianity, followers of Christ, believers in this message, these words of Jesus. He says to us, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. So what was that attitude? Who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. As that was his nature, so it should be ours. As Jesus obeyed this, the most awful of God's will for him, and yet the most wonderful of God's will for us, so we should be willing to sacrifice our wills, our ways, our desires, to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, that we might please him, that we might gain what he has to give us out of love. Our access to God's blessings requires that we hear Jesus' message, that we have faith in his message, and that we obey his message. Jesus said, blessed are those who hear the word of God and obey it. I want that blessing, don't you? I want all of the blessings that are included in that umbrella of blessing. I want all of those things that are involved in having the inheritance of God because I've become a child of God. I've humbled myself. I've submitted myself to God. I want all of those things that are not only now, but the spiritual blessings that I gain now, but the unimaginable spiritual blessings of eternity with God. I plead with you then from Psalm 95 and verses 7 through 8, where the psalmist writes, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. That openness that we must have to hear is the first and foremost element if we're going to really gain the blessings of God, if we're going to enjoy those. Are you open to that? Are you open to the forgiveness that God has for you, the adoption as his child, the inheritance that he offers, the faith that he calls for? Are you open to that and to obeying his message? That's what today is about. That's the message that still rings true today, 2,000 years later. Today, if you hear his voice, will you respond to it in obedience? If we can help you to be obedient to Christ right now, today, we urge you to come forward right now as we stand and sing.